Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Talk Radio Studio Live, and we're also here on Facebook Live with my very, very special guest, Shayla Vishnu. It is just such an honor and a pleasure to have you here because things are moving fast. I'm in Chicago, and as you know, I live in Florida, but when I came to Chicago, I got news that a friend's husband was hit by a car last Sunday, and he transitioned. And the odd thing about that was that they didn't know, the wife didn't know what had happened to him for a couple of days because he didn't have any ID on him. And this happened on a Sunday afternoon, and she was wondering, and her daughter was wondering where he went, and then they finally got the news. So I went to visit her yesterday. She's in the hospital because of kidney failure problems and dialysis and all that. And it just occurred to me that her husband, the date that her husband was born on and the dates that he left were the same number 8. While we were in the hospital room talking to her, myself and 2 other women and a 10-year-old, I took my grandniece with me, and the wife was getting a little weepy-eyed and depressed, and I said, you know what, when was he born? Because I thought about you, Shayla, when you informed me that your partner transitioned. You said 12-12, and you said good numbers, and I thought, I need to let her know that her husband left on good numbers too. And that's,
oh, there are messages, you know?
It's so rare, though, that we think that people in general think that way, right?
I guess. I don't know what normal people think like.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, when you're in a consciousness that you're in, yourself and myself, it's like that's, oh, yeah. My sister passed in 2005. And she was in room B3. She took 3 breaths at 3 o'clock and some third day of the week. And my grief was like 2 minutes. And I'm like, what's with the threes? What's with all these threes? That was my first introduction to the language of the universe that really spoke to me in that moment. So, Shayla, welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. I am so honored that you, in this time of your grief and your transitions and all that you would take the time. But I realized when we first talked a couple of weeks ago, we had so much in common, and there was just so much that we needed to share with the world, really the globe. This is a global platform. And I realized when we talked that there's a lot we can share just in our lives and our conversation, and especially with what you've been through the last years, months, whatever. So would you please introduce yourself to our audience and tell us a little bit about let's start where you were born, your parents, when you came into planet Earth, what was that like for you?
Well, I was April 8, 1957, and I was born in Germany because my dad was in the Army as a captain, as a dentist. So my sister and I were born in Germany, and I was a year and a half old when we came back to Detroit, which was his hometown, and my mom was from Michigan also. And I had when I think about it, a pretty idyllic childhood. There was always stability, financial stability, emotional stability. I wouldn't say, they were both children of the Depression and the World War II, so especially my mother was born in 33. They're both gone now. Actually, my dad just died this year, and he was 93. But, so they weren't real demonstrative as far as affection or, talking things out, saying they loved me, wanting to get into deeper conversations. I was pretty young. I don't know, I was maybe 10 or 12 when I was trying to get in a conversation with my mother. Now, she was a strict Catholic, so I went to Catholic school, so that was the party line. So I realized after a few minutes talking to her that it wasn't her talking. It was the Catholic Church talking, it was what she was supposed to say. I didn't feel her and feel any connection with her with what she was saying. So I kind of gave up after that, in a sense, you know what I mean? I thought, well, this isn't working. I'm not getting the answers I need. So, I grew up on an inland lake. We had boats. We played all summer. It was beautiful. We traveled. My dad loved to travel. We went camper trailing all over, and stuff. And then, I'm very well educated. I went to the University of Michigan. I had an undergrad degree in dental hygiene. Then I went back and got a master's degree in medical administration, or what was it called? I don't know. Before I really knew that I am a total entrepreneur, I am not a corporate person.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
My husband, who passed away just 2 days ago.
Really?
2 days ago.
Yeah,
it seems like so. Friday morning.
Yeah.
Friday morning.
At 12:12.
The hospice chair. Well, the official, he died before that, but the official time of death is put down by the hospice nurse, and that was 1212. I didn't even realize it till after. And 1212 is the ascension gateway. So I'm like, oh boy, I think he's in good hands. I think he did good.
Certainly did.
So he was an acupuncture physician, Chinese doctor, homeopath. I know you were familiar with him. And I was his office administrator, and I really liked that work. It was fun. You know, I like to organize. I'm very organized and was able to organize his office. We have four daughters between the ages of 23 and 32, and one of our daughters, first daughter to get married, got married on July 9th in Floyd, Virginia. Mm-hmm. So I was able to go. Satara was too ill. So actually, two of my friends from Michigan came here and took care of him instead of going to the wedding.
Wow.
So anyway, it was kind of a long journey. It was interesting, you know. It's really almost a three-year journey, two and a half, three, but it got really critical the last, since the spring equinox. Boom, things shifted. So, you know, he didn't really want my input too much to, as far as his healing journey. You know what I mean? He kept trying different things and calling people and this and that. And anyway, so then we had him in hospice care, which was great. I mean, to have that support, it was just phenomenal. You know, I knew just what to do when he passed, and they take care of everything. And we had him cremated, although his brother's an Orthodox priest, and he wasn't too happy about that. Because in their tradition, you know, the strict Orthodox tradition, you would not burn a body. So I said, oh, too bad, I'm sorry.
Yeah, oops. Yeah.
Anyway, so now, yeah, he just passed 72 hours ago. And what was lovely about it was that, so I found him in the bathroom. I had just left him in there because I didn't realize how weak he was. So he was on the floor, man, his head was like up against the toilet. We're trying to get him into this wheelchair and all this stuff. And I left him kind of flopped over the bathtub to go get something. And I came back and I realized he had passed. So I had a good cry for a few minutes, you know. And then I eased his body down onto the floor and, you know, just was with him for a little while. There was no need to hurry on anything, obviously. So then I called my daughters, three daughters were within driving distance, and called them and told them. And so they made arrangements immediately to come, you know, to the house. And then hospice came, and my son-in-law, and I hate son-in-law, but he might as well be, but he and I picked up the body and put it on the bed. I really didn't want my daughters to see him on the bathroom floor, you know. So I put a prayer shawl on him, and they all came. We all got to be with him. We anointed his body. We sang songs and prayers. Some of my daughters took some pictures, which is interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, but we had, you know, it was so necessary. I can see that for all of us to really integrate this experience. And luckily, when he came, right when he went on hospice care, all the girls came home for a number of days, like 4 or 5 days. My daughter came down from Virginia. So we had a week together, like 3 or 4 weeks ago, just to be with him. And that was also very helpful. He was not very well then. He really couldn't participate in anything. But it seems to be working for us. I mean, at this point, I'm new in the game. I understand, you know, I haven't. So that's my story at the moment.
Now, you said you have four daughters, all
mm-hmm.
of them between you and your husband.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful, beautiful thing. That's interesting. Four daughters, no boys, huh?
He was always surrounded by women. But he was a very masculine man, if you remember him, you know. He had a grand trine in fire. He was Aries.
Oh, wow.
You know, always leading charge, wanting to change the paradigm, you know, in medicine especially, because that was his specialty, but any other way he could also.
So one of the things you and I were talking about is what happened that he became so ill with such knowledge. And that's what I want to kind of dive into for everyone, that even if you have all this knowledge, and he was, you said Chinese medicine as well as acupuncture, Chinese medicine, right, was his field.
Yeah, so they herbs, and, you know, he's very versed in homeopathy,
mm-hmm.
energy medicine, so which is homeopathy, that's energetic medicine. You know, it's not biological, it's not biochemical in nature. Yeah, I mean, I can tell you, I saw that his bowel habits had started to change. He was going to the bathroom all the time. He didn't say anything to me. And I'm going, what is going on? You're going to the town all the time. And so he, they had him at the same time. So he had a colonoscopy, and they found a mass in his rectum. And they did a sample, and it was not cancerous at that time. So this is September of 2019. And so he wanted him to go see this surgeon, you know, and I tend to handle a lot of this in the family, too much stuff, you know. So I just backed off, and I said, if he was going to go see a surgeon, he can go see the surgeon. You know, I'm not going to, he's not a baby. I'm not going to make all these decisions for him. He can, he's got a phone. He can
right.
pick it up.
Right.
So he kind of, he didn't go the Western route for another year and a half almost. So he messed around with different things, but I didn't see any improvement, you know. And I would question him about it. He didn't seem to want any input. So I didn't give any, because every time I did, you know, he wanted to do it his way. So I said, okay. We ended up, finally, a year and a half later, he got a new primary doctor. And his primary doctor said, you should really get this checked out, like, this has been a year and a half, and, you know, nothing's improved. Things have gotten worse. So we went to see the surgeon. He did another biopsy, another procedure, and said, yes, it's cancer. And during all this, I was never concerned. I was never concerned that he would die, ever. I just thought this was just something he was going to get through. Actually, when the doctor came and he first said it was weird, he said he had cancer, I said, okay. I didn't break down. I'm like, okay, he's got
right.
cancer.
Yeah. He can overcome. He can get over it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I actually felt like joy. Like, okay, now we can get to it. You know, like, let's get on with this.
Yeah,
you know?
Yes.
So I asked him if he wanted, so he said he wanted to do, like, wheatgrass and live food. So I went gangbusters on it. And he didn't want to eat this live food. He didn't make an effort, and he could have. He wasn't that sick then. You know, to make the wheatgrass juice, to do all this stuff. And I said, look, I'm not going to do all this for you unless you're going to help me. What is this about? You know, so we had some discussions about that. And then he did some work with an integrative physician in Clearwater, Dave Minkoff. And he does, and he, Satara had always talked about this, IPT therapy. It's in, insulin potentiated therapy, where they take a very low dose, like 8 to 10%. They first of all match you with the correct chemotherapy or natural therapy. We had to send his blood to Greece.
Oh,
but I found out there's places in California that do this. They take different samples of the blood and they try all these different therapies and see what the cancer cells in the blood,
wow.
how they respond.
Right, right.
So they chose a couple things, and he did not respond well to this therapy at all. I mean, he got his colon got completely inflamed.
Oh, wow.
We spent a lot of money. And so that was September of last year. Yeah, it was only September of last year.
Wow.
2021? Yeah, because it's 22. And so we ended up going back to Western medical doctors up at Shands. He went to talk to a surgeon again. Of course, I kept saying, Satara, they're going to tell you the same thing. They do surgery. What are they going to tell you other than that? They'll do radiation, chemo, then surgery. So I'm not going to keep going back there if you're not willing to do that. So anyway, we did go back. He did get some radiation, and in January he was feeling great. All this weird stuff started happening. He was feeling great. He, and then the spring equinox, we were sitting in his office, and it was like a Tuesday afternoon or something like that. And I could feel this energy come down.
Mm.
And he's sitting in his little cubby where he does his notes and stuff like that. And he is sweating profusely. He's going, what is going on? And so some kind of energy came down. And he started having all the symptoms again. He started having rectal bleeding and went into some severe stuff. Anyway, what eventually happened is he got endocarditis. Because he had a strep infection in his blood, and he has he had his valve replaced 4 years ago. It just blew his heart out. So anyway, he went to Shands, and they couldn't do anything for either of them. They couldn't really do heart surgery. They couldn't do anything for his rectum. They said, so we went home about 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. But one thing was interesting that he said when we were home, and every once in a while, he was very dreamy, you know, he was halfway between the worlds a lot of the time and kind of traveling. He'd say funny things. And he said to me, I'm sorry for the delay. And I said, what do you mean? He says, I was frozen. So to me, that meant, all of this to me meant he just couldn't, for some reason, overcome some ego problems. Like, we still fought over finances all the time, and all this stuff, and I'm like, something has to resolve here. Something has to resolve. I can't live this way. It's not healthy for us, you know? I mean, we were very close. I mean, I know we're like soulmates, I would say, you know? I mean, but we've never had a smooth relationship, honestly. It's a general, I mean, of course, there were great times, you know, but overall, there were hard issues about living on planet Earth that we really hadn't tackled. I had asked many times. He was never willing to kind of engage in conversations about this, and somehow, I think on that spring equinox, it was like, okay, the universe was like, ba-boom, you didn't handle it, so... Check it out, you know.
Wow. You know, what I was thinking about was that your time is coming. When he said, sorry for the delay, it sounded like to me that the consciousness message was coming to him that all this time I'm getting ready to get out of here. I'm almost ready to exit, and I delayed communicating what I needed to communicate. I delayed letting go of the ego. Or I delayed, you know, when you said delayed, I thought, well, there's so many ways that we, especially men, delay communicating what's from their heart, what their
right.
feelings are. And so that's what I was thinking when you said that, is that we, men especially, and anyone who gets to that point of hospice care, they delay really expressing their heartfelt feelings. My sister, for one, who had breast cancer, and her daughter was killed instantly before 2 years before she had the breast cancer. And then when she stayed in my house, I kept wanting to talk about her daughter. And she went into this, oh, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. You've never lost a child. And I was like, oh, but I know. But if we could just talk about it. And then, like, kind of like you, I had to just back off. Because the delay to me was that she just couldn't talk about certain things that had gone on in her life. And so it sounds like that's what Satira was communicating. That's what I was thinking, is that he knew on some level that he was getting ready to leave the planet.
Yeah, for sure. Because he said, and I'm frozen. Like, I think he was like feeling there was nothing I could do about it. There was some way I was just frozen. And when he said, sorry about the delay, I thought of the delay of us being one. Like, sorry about the delay, you know, we'll have to do it later. Like, you know, okay, when you get up here, we're going to have you. I don't know how I interpreted it.
Well, I heard a pastor say recently that you don't want a soulmate. A soulmate you have a contract and you got to work things out, so it's not going to be smooth. But a twin flame. But a twin flame is a lot smoother journey. But a soulmate, no. He said, He said, you don't want a soulmate because you got to work a lot of shit out, and it's not going to be comfortable, and you're going to be in it, and you don't know why you're in it, but you're going to have all these conflicts. And he said, but a twin flame, you're both ready to just do the work that needs to be done and with very little conflict.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It's funny. I mean, he and I were both second born in our sibling path. He had an older brother. I had an older sister. Both of our mothers were Pisces. We were both Aries. I mean, it was almost like he was the male version. I was the female version of some kind of energy.
Contrary.
Anyway,
Now
it doesn't really make any difference in a sense. It's like I'm living in life, you know.
Well, now you said his brother was an Orthodox priest. Does that mean he came from a Jewish background?
No. Christian Orthodox.
Christian Orthodox.
Like when you think of Greek Orthodox it's Orthodox Christian.
Okay.
They said in, 1054 or something like that, you know, and they feel like they're the true church, you know, from their perspective. They kept the truer tradition. They don't report to a priest. I mean, not a priest, a pope. Okay, they don't report to the pope. Like in the Roman Catholic, I was always Roman Catholic. You know, the pope oversees the entire Roman Catholic community of the world. And that's not the way the Orthodox Christian, we think of it as tied to culture, you know, as in Greek Orthodox or whatever. But it's the same. They just use the vernacular. You know, they'll use some Greek in their services. Cetera is 100% Romanian, but he was born here. His parents were born here. He's you know, second or third generation. But it's a different culture. I mean, it's different feeling about the church.
So how do you think his childhood influenced his not being able to, his frozen status, let's just say that, and not being able to, even though we know he had an assignment and it ended on the right time, at the right time, on the right day, how do you look back on his Christian upbringing and his family, his childhood, how that influenced him as a soul person and the soul contract that you had?
I really don't. I mean, he grew up in the bar business. His dad had bars and party stores and his grandfather. So, I mean, he knew people really well from that slice of life.
Okay.
Really interesting. And, you know, he wasn't afraid of anyone or anything. You know, he could handle himself. He wasn't ever intimidated by anybody physically or, you know, He could handle anybody's guff, you know, because of that. And, I mean, he had mentioned his father and how his father was kind of missing from his childhood because he was working so many hours. And his father was an interesting cat. He was his name was Gus, and he was the showman, a Leo to the core. Okay, he was the bartender. Everybody came to Gus if they wanted to borrow money. You know, he was the big honcho behind the bar. Listened to everybody's stories, never said a word. You know, had a couple little side hustles. We're not sure if they were all legit. He rode that dark side a little bit. And he never really had problems with his dad, like arguing and stuff like that, but I don't think he got the soft side of the male, you know. Never got to really experience that. That was hard for him. I'm sure that's why he had four daughters, you know. Took five of us to counteract.
Wow. That's pretty powerful. That's an interesting insight there. Yeah. Yeah, four daughters. No accidents there. So are all your daughters married now?
Huh?
Are all your daughters married now?
No, just one. The first one just got married just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
July 9th. Is that 2 weeks ago? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. We are at the half-hour mark. We're going to take a commercial break. I hope you can stay with me a little longer.
Sure.
We have a lot to talk about in terms of emotions and how, you know, to me it's been very interesting how men especially react or respond to traumas and situations in their life, and their emotions say a lot about whether they'll develop a disease of sorts. And so we want to talk about that, and I'll share a little bit more about my experience as well. But we're going to take a commercial break. My executive producer, Naima Latif, is in the studio, and she's going to play a few commercials, and we'll be right back. Thank you for sharing.
Okay. Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Joining us this evening on Blog Talk Radio Studio, and we've got a caller who pressed one. So I guess you ready to take a question or a comment? Shayla?
Sure.
And I also want to ask you, after the comment from our caller, about your Catholic background, and Satira was Christian or Orthodox. I want to ask you how that changed for both of you, and where you, what your faith and beliefs are today or in the last year that maybe influenced all that happened in such a positive way, the way I look at it, that there's not a lot of anger, bitterness, grief. In fact, I really want to hear about the meditation you did with him in those last moments that we had talked about before. So we're going to take a caller, 336-350. Your mic is open. I believe that's Mama AZ from Arizona. How are you tonight or today?
Oh, thank you for asking, Dr. V. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, can you hear her, Shayla? Yes, she can hear you. Okay, speak up. Go ahead.
Okay, Shayla, thank you so much for coming on today. Today is a one. That's like dropping knowledges and planting seeds that you may not see come to fruition in this lifetime. But did I not hear you say your husband made his transition 12-12?
No, 12-12 o'clock. It was was the 22nd of July, just this last Friday, and it was at 12:12 p.m. was
the official
time of death. The official time of death.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's known at the date 12:12 also is often, you know, a high date in more esoteric astrology and things like that, and it's known as the Ascension Gateway.
And what's his birth date, you know?
Yeah, of course I know. It's 4/5/1953. Give me the scoop on that.
Okay, Mom Maisie, go ahead. I'm going to calculate his birthday, but go ahead. You have
yeah,
another question.
Dr. V, yes. Dr. V, we got to do another show because what Shayla has confirmed, my mother came to me in a dream about baking my manager a cake. You, Shayla, you have just confirmed some things. My mother, her name was Maddie C. Cunningham Paris, all right? And she taught me so much. This has to be another show. But she came to the planet on 12/12, and my dad came the 14th, 12/14. And one of my mentors, who's Chuck Norris's uncle on Ranger Walker, Floyd Red Crow Westerman, he made his transition right in between my mom and my dad, and he was one of my mentors. He transferred because of leukemia. He's on the Pine Ridge Reservation, a very well-known actor. So look him up, Floyd Red Crow Westerman. Anyway, I've been getting messages like you wouldn't believe, and thank you, Shayla, for just confirming some doubt that I had. I don't have it anymore, and it's just so wonderful that you chose this day. This is Mama Bonfire calling you from Sierra Vista, Arizona, Buffalo Soldier Country. Thank us.
We say thank us because Shayla surrendered to my request, but she and I started this conversation, what, 2 weeks ago, was it? About two
yeah.
weeks ago. And so the universe is prepping for this day. And she's confirming, and who knows what other confirmations will come before the night's over. But I'm grateful, too, and I say thank us because we say thank us. You thank United Spirits coming together, cooperating, agreeing, surrendering, whatever. Especially
Dr.
so
V,
soon. Yes, go ahead.
You never, ever, ever, you are so amazing. My sister, I am so grateful that my mother Maddie did not abort me in this lifetime because I definitely needed to connect or reconnect with you because you be pulling people out of I don't know with your invisible golden hatchet. Thank us.
Thank you,
Shayla.
She says I have a golden hatchet, but I need people who have bulldozers, and I'm like, I think I'm pretty mild myself, but I do try and speak the truth from my heart, and sometimes I trigger people. But thank you, Mama AZ, for that confirmation. In fact, we hope that it's confirmed for many people tonight. That what Shayla's energy of love and wisdom that she brings will open up our hearts to celebrate and not grieve, because I just have a feeling we're going to see more loved ones leaving their bodies this year than we expect.
So many people have died recently. It's amazing. I mean, they're leaving in droves. I mean, it's truly astounding. And another interesting thing about Cetera is he was born on Easter morning at sunrise.
What?
That year, April 5th, was Easter morning. Yeah, he's a pretty high soul there. You know, he came in on some good energy, left on some good energy. So I believe in all those things. You know, I mean, there's no mistakes. And, you know, what's the pure language of the universe? It's mathematics, right? Numbers, energies, frequencies, you know, sacred geometry, shapes, you know. I mean, I've gotten this message in many different ways, how we create. We lay down grid work, you know, without intention. It attracts energy, you know. I mean, all these things is how it works. I mean, that's been my experience, you know, and actually, it's just been information I've received through different ceremonies and different things like that, you know. I've read quite a bit, but I've quit reading as much. You know, I'm like, look at what the universe wants me to know, I'll get it.
I'm that way too, yeah. I'm not reading half as much as I was when I was married, especially. When I was married, I was like, just digesting every book I could find. Why am I in this? Why am I in pain? Why is this? I was like, what can I read? In fact, when I was really having a lot of health issues, I was in the Orlando Library on the floor looking for books about cancer because I had this guy read energy in my body. He said, well, you've got some cancer going on in your body. I'm like, really? And so, and this is while I was married. And so I went to the library. I was just in the cancer section. I sat on the floor and I just kept pulling books out, figuring out which books do I need to read. And I came across one book that really caught my eye. It was called Thank God I Have Cancer by a pastor. And I took that book home and just, it was about B12 and all the nutrients and all that he had learned and biblical and scripture. It was the best book I'd ever read. And I found that book again later on the internet. It had disappeared from the library when I went back. But it was on the internet. So, yeah, books were the thing that I think helped us raise our consciousness. And then you're saying, now we're just got our antennas up right now. It's like, what's next here? Come on, give it to me.
Downloads. I'm going for direct downloads.
Me too.
It's like, what's my next best step?
Yeah.
In the moment, what's next step?
Yeah.
Dream, you know.
Yeah.
And my daughters are big dreamers. I'm a dreamer. I'm always getting dreams. So that really kicked in the last 10 years. And I'm not always interpreting them right, and sometimes I'm caught up in things. But anyway, speaking of cancer books, because Satara was involved with this cancer situation, I really started to look around for other books and stuff. And I tell you what, the amount of the cancer therapies are just amazing now, you know.
Absolutely.
In so many ways. Even on the, I mean, they haven't really hit, you know, you can't go to Waterman Hospital here in Mount Dora, Florida and get any, they wouldn't even in chance get it. But there's so much going on, in the cancer therapy stuff. But, you know, cancer's one of those things, man, if you don't get to the core of it, which is usually emotional, it's pretty tough to kick or, you know, stay out, you know.
Well,
you have Louise Hay's books there?
Yeah, and I always go to Louise Hay. You know this book. And she says cancer is a deep hurt, long-standing resentment,
right.
Deep secret or grief eating away at the self, carrying hatred. What's the use? Now, any number of those could fit one individual or not, and all of them could fit an individual or not.
Right.
I've used this enough to know that it really does ring true for most people, but every person is different in how much this applies and so forth.
Yeah.
So
you
and I talked about the level of the actual idea of forgiveness. Because that's the book that really woke me up, Cancer Report, that Margaret Bertone, the producer, the publisher of Natural Awakening magazine, her uncle wrote this book, The Cancer Report, and the biggest testimony in there that got my attention was a guy who had cancer, and they gave him, I think, 3 months to live, and he said, you know, no hope for you, and he turned around and called every person he knew, addressed every person, and asked them to forgive him, and he forgave himself, and his cancer went into remission. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's huge. Yes. And that's why my focus is now on energy in motion, called emotions, rather than I worked at Chamberlain's Health Food Store for 10 years. I sold a lot of supplements and essential oils and did and so after that book and after my sister's journey with cancer, which was all about grief, unforgiveness, and guilt about her daughter, I'm like, okay, we got to push aside some of the supplements and just let's work on the energy. So, and that's what how did that go for you in those last few moments or days with Satira?
Well, he wasn't really taking much of supplements. He was, as far as that goes. And I think that was part of his being stuck, part of his being frozen was always with his mind, because he was so well trained and read so much, thinking about it as a physical problem. I'm like, this is not a physical problem, honey. Got nothing to do with this.
It takes a female energy to say that, though, and help them see that. But, it's not a physical
I wanted to move on from certain things in my life.
Treatments,
arguing about money, for one thing, different things like that. Let's get this conversation going. It's just money. But if we, how are we going to achieve our goals? What are our goals? Do we want to retire? We ain't going to retire if we don't talk about this.
And then money is energy. So, it still comes back to energy, the energy of money and how to use it and where is it and, all that.
Yeah, I like, I think one of Yogi Bhajan's quotes was, you have to have financial discipline, spiritual discipline, and physical discipline. If you don't have those three things going on, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be fulfilled. You can't ignore certain aspects of your life or your being when you're on the planet Earth,
Yes.
That's how I feel.
We've got another caller who pressed one, so let me go ahead and open the mic. I don't want to hold people too long. 773-366, your mic is open.
Yes, Viata. Good evening. This is Naima. And
good evening.
Greetings. A guest.
This is our executive producer, Naima Latif. She has a comment or a question.
Yes. I always enjoy these conversations. Like Viata, I enjoy going to funerals and observing people's lives being celebrated, because I think it's a beautiful thing, this experience that we have on Earth. But, of course, my husband, and I've shared this story before, my husband transitioned about 15 years ago from colon cancer. But if it hadn't been for that, I would not have been able to grow spiritually to the point where I am now. Because during my adult life, when I met my husband, we were both part of an international Muslim community. And the thing about religion is that you grow as far as your religious leadership's understanding. And if that's where you stay, then you don't grow any further than someone else's understanding. But all of us have a responsibility to evolve to the greatest level possible during our lifetime. So my husband's transition actually helped me to transcend the understanding of the people around me so that I could see beyond what religious doctrine, as understood by those in leadership, were able to explain. And what we had, because we were into health food and all that, but there was a point where, he was doing reed grass and all this other stuff, and herbs, but then there was a point where we realized that this was how he was going to make his transition. And so we had an agreement that when he got to the other side, he was going to figure out a way to come back and tell me what's happening over there so that my belief wouldn't be based on religious doctrine and the whole heaven and hell and all that. But I was like, tell me what the real deal is. And amazingly, we were able to connect. And the first time he appeared to me in spirit, he said, the past, the present, and the future are all the same. If you ever want to see me, just go back in your mind to a time when we were together. Now, at first that was a riddle, but then later on I understood he was explaining how you tune into a person's vibration so that you could reconnect, because all we are is vibrating energy. It doesn't change. It's because you transition out of your physical body. And, you know, we always thought, well, you know, once somebody passes, that's it. You know, you don't see them again, it's over. And I thought, you know, based on all the things we see, you know, the ghost movies and all that, that it's seance movies, that there's something wrong and evil about communicating with the other side. But then I began to be led to many different teachers all over the Internet that are explaining, you know, their experiences, their past life experiences, their near-death experiences, and then finally understanding what he was saying is that you can still stay connected, and here is how. And so I learned, you know, through meditation, how to go into a state of releasing my soul from my body and actually going through astral projection. I've never had a near-death experience, but I was able to actually go to the dimension where he is, and we were able to spend time together. And I've been able to do that at will over these past several years. And, you know, and as a result of that, I have absolutely no grief at all. I mean, yeah, you know, you maybe miss the person in the physical realm, some of the things you used to do, but knowing that he's really always around and knowing that we're going to hang out again once I transition, I'm at such peace. And so what I try to do with the book that I've written about him and that experience, Visits from the Dream State, what I try to do is help people who are in states of grief, feeling like, oh, my loved one is gone, to realize, number one, they're not gone. And number two, you know, they understand whatever conflict you have, they see it from a whole different perspective now. So, you know, they're not angry. They're not holding on to any of those earthbound emotions at all. They're at peace. They're enjoying life, and they want you to enjoy life. But one of the greatest lessons that I've learned is that, you know, if someone does transition from whatever it is, you know, disease or heart attack or accident, it's not a failure. Nobody did anything wrong. You know, all of us have to have an exit plan when we're born here. So whichever one we choose, you know, once we get to the other side, if it's our time to go, then we can choose to stay. If it's not, then we'll be sent back and say, well, no, you got more to do. So, you know, a lot of people feel guilt, like, oh, well, could I have done more? Should I have done this? Should I have not done that? No. You know, this person was scheduled to go at this time. This is one of the times they had picked as a time to go. If my job is done here, then this is when I'm going to leave. And it's okay, because I'm really not going anywhere. I just let this body go. So, you know, I try to encourage people to not ever look at death as a failure or even as death. It's just an end of your assignment. And you're going on to greater things, and you're really not gone. You're still there. If the person wants to, they can connect with you.
So, hallelujah.
Yeah,
hallelujah. Thank you, Naima.
You know, thank you. That's what my daughters and I were talking about when his body was laying there.
Mm.
He's not really gone. You know, he's going to be with us all the time. You know, when we're going to see him eventually. You know, we're going to, all of that stuff. I know I love near-death experiences and all of that stuff. I mean, I've been reading those for years. And you know who I really love who's in the popular mainstream is, have you ever seen Matt Frazier?
Oh, yeah.
The psychic medium.
Yeah.
He has brought peace to so many people for that very reason. He's the best psychic I've ever seen, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's right on with people. I mean, he's telling them all these things, and he keeps telling people, they're with you. And people feel, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. He goes, no. You know, just like you said, you know, there was a plan. This was supposed to happen. There was no mistake here. There's nothing you could have done to prevent it. You know, all of these things that people carry, that guilt that keeps them from living fully.
Yeah.
And all our loved ones on the other side is want us to be happy, live fully.
Yeah. And
enjoy your time in a body.
By the way, his birth number is a 9. So he was definitely coming in at the perfect time. It was like he gave a new, it was a new birth for him to come here as a nine. So, but I want to ask, and then we do have another caller, but before we go to the caller, you mentioned Yogi Bhajan. And I lived in the ashram, the Kundalini ashram, for a year and a half, so I got to know.
Oh,
all,
you did? Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got to know all about the Yogi Bhajan community that left.
Yeah.
That was no more, but my roommate at the time, or who's still very weird, the closest of friends now, she's been with that community for over 30 years. How were your religious upbringings, you and Satara, blended or not, or as you stayed together as husband and wife, how did your religious upbringings affect all of that, your health, his health, all of that? What influence did your religious experience have in your marriage?
Well, I left, let's see, I met Satara when I was 26, he was 30, and I was underwhelmed by Catholicism. There was nothing that rocked my boat.
Thank goodness.
I'm like, I don't know. So, I mean, I kind of quit going as soon as I got out of the house at 18, you know, went to college and this and that. I was expected to go to church when I was home, of course. It's not Sunday. I mean, my parents were at church. And as a family, that was expected. And we did it. You know, out of respect for my parents, I would go. But we started, of course, he got into martial arts and started exploring Eastern cultures when he was maybe in his mid-20s, became a vegetarian, explored different things. And so I was influenced by that when I met him, you know. And then we would go to some Native American things in the Detroit area, read Phenomena News, which was this really great newspaper, you know, of all the things going on in the area. And you know, I just started hearing things like, you know, reincarnation. Nobody had to tell me that was right. I said, of course it's right. Who would ever think that you have one life? That doesn't even make sense. Use your brain. It doesn't even follow the laws of science, you know. Energy is neither created nor destroyed. It continues on. We are energy. And it's all that stuff just made sense to me. I was like, of course that's the way it is. You know, everything has a frequency. Of course. You know, I mean, I don't know. It all came, there was no fighting internally with me with that stuff. It was like, well, of course. And then we got, we started going to these teachings from a channeled entity that, if you know what channeling, I'm sure a lot of people know what channeling is. It's just another way of frequency coming through. You know, someone agrees to, they can use your physical being for transmissions and information and teachings. And that got us kind of going with this group. It was a small group. Anyway, kind of accelerated our growth, I would say. And then I started doing yoga training at the Kundalini Yoga Ashram in Altamont at one of their first in 2001 or 2002.
Really?
Yeah. I got, you know, it was funny. I didn't really know. I had heard about them. I moved here in the area in 98, had my last baby in 99, and my baby child. And we had separated, Satara and I, for a while.
Mm.
And I was living with him with the girls. Oh, that was a crazy time. And I got this notice in the mail, and on this very bright piece of paper, it had nothing. It was like a notice from the library, an overdue notice from the library. And inside the envelope, in this, like, fuchsia-colored piece of paper was, Kundalini Yoga, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, oh, I'm supposed to see that, go to this, obviously. And I had also seen a tape of Gurmukh, who's one of their, you know, long-standing teachers in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching him going, whatever it is they're doing, I got to learn that. You know, it was just that soul recognition. I got to do that. What is she doing? So anyway, that gave me a new set of teachings. I mean, they were definitely different than I had had. And it gave me, I ended up going to India for 2 weeks in 2003, maybe. I'm not sure, 2002, 2003, with a group. Some of us were from there. Anyway, that gave me a new love for the truth, you know, of the Hindu. But we also went to the Sikhs. I mean, he's Sikh, so I wasn't. It gave just me a great expansion of truth and how it's presented and how it's, you know, how it's written about and the words they use. And I just love their music. Oh, my God, the music that comes out of that group. You know, and they've had their, of course, big scandals that had gone on throughout but really came to a head. And, you know, it released a lot of people from that whole guru worship stuff, which was good.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, this is not a time for that. We all know that.
We are becoming our own gurus.
Exactly. So I think, you know, it released some big players there. And then other people stuck by them, whatever. Everybody does their thing. But it was the teachings that were good and what he brought forth. The worldwide movement is just phenomenal. So anyway, that was one of my big teachings and, you know,
okay,
where
so let us put a pause on there. We've got to go to another commercial break and then come back and hear about Satara's religious spiritual transformation, maybe.
Okay.
So Naima Latif, your mic's open, and we'll go to the next commercial.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness sessions on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Back again. Thank you for joining us in the Blog Talk Radio studio. If you have a question or comment, just press 1, and the number is 215-383-5863. And we're here in Facebook Live today with Shayla. And Shayla's partner. Did you call him your partner or husband? What was that relationship like? Partner?
Yeah, I mean, we're husband and wife. I mean, Yeah, we actually got divorced legally and never got remarried, but we've been back together for 15 years. But, yeah, we always called each other husband and wife.
Oh, okay, okay. So what and we have another caller, but let me ask you about his religious transformation, spiritual transformation. Yours was from Catholic. One, this guy I used to teach learn under, he called it Catholicos. And I always thought that was so funny that he used that term. And of course, it wasn't anything really positive. But you just described it yourself. It's like, ah, nothing there. Moving on. But we all had to come in and experience these different denominations to get where we are today, where I've got antennas up waiting for the message to come in now, instead of going to some man or woman to assist in front of a pulpit who's got some really weird things going on in their life. But what was Satara's experience from transformation from childhood religion to spirituality?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was his parents' whole social and spiritual life. It was a very tight-knit group. I mean, all of their friends, all his mother's friends that I ever saw were from the church.
No.
So he grew up in the church, you know. I mean, basically, the social, you know, all the weddings and the funerals, the whole community would go to, which was a little different than mine. I think Catholic churches are not quite that tight. You know, these guys had, you know, they were all Romanian, and, you know, there was social stuff as well as that going on. And it was never hard for him to walk away from that I could tell. I mean...
So he wasn't a Sunday church goer in his older years?
No,
and
no.
Or a Bible reading, preaching
no,
type
no.
person?
No.
No. So how did he...
The Bible, honestly.
How did he feel about the Kundalini yoga community?
He was fine with them. I was just more involved with yoga and stuff. He kind of did his own thing. He was a little bit of a loner, but he had his people, you know. He has a really close friend up in Chicago, actually, that's a practitioner, and they went to school together, and they stayed in contact and talked about a lot of things, you know, they did. But he kind of just lived naturally. He was very, you know, he really, I think, understood about life, you know. Things happen, you know, things happen good, things happen bad, you know. He was more even keeled about that, you know, than I was. Well, I had some emotional imbalances there earlier. And so I just think he loved life, and he knew life was okay. There's nothing to be afraid of here. You know, we're all being taken care of in one way or another. And
do you think getting the divorce created a more peaceful, harmonious relationship? But was there less conflict after that? Or
yes.
No?
Okay. It was horrible. It was horrible.
Oh.
It was horrible. I should have never done it. But anyway, that's water under the bridge, you know. It's one of those things I'm still, like, it's hard for me not to think, wow, if I hadn't done that, or if we hadn't moved here, if we hadn't done this, I can look back and think I got messages, but I just wasn't interpreting them correctly about the right avenues to take. So I've had to just leave all that and say, okay, I'm here now. Let's move forward and see what life brings, you know. I mean, his death actually has brought some liberation in some senses. I mean, because we just couldn't get through these sticking points, and I was so frustrated. I was like, so it's a funny thing to say, but it's a bit of liberation.
Oh, yeah, of course. The energy of, and as we mentioned earlier, did you detect any unforgiveness that could have been at the root of his illness?
I didn't think, you know, I think deep down, and I don't think he was even aware of it, because he was very, a very confident person. He wasn't not confident, but deep down, a couple times I had experiences where I got a look deep into his soul, and there was this underlying unworthiness.
Unworthiness.
Like, unworthiness.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not worthy of love, or why do you even love me? I mean, we would have these, sometimes, you know, the spirit comes down and there's this opening of things, you know,
yeah,
and you're almost like in a different dimension. You probably experienced that, you know, and there's something else going on, and you get a peek into somebody that they're not even aware of.
Right,
you know?
Right. Wow, that's deep. Okay, we're going to come back to that because, you know, if you're familiar with EFT, that's the introduction to emotional freedom techniques that help release some of the stuck energy is I love myself. And some people are stuck in, like you just said, the unworthiness, and that's why they haven't been able to move that energy and unblock the cancer and all the other diseases. So, yeah, let's talk about that a little more after we go to the phones. Let me see. 706-202, I believe that's Kwame Sunhorse. Welcome. Do you have a comment or question for us?
Yes, and good evening, Sister Viata. Is it Shala?
Shayla.
Shayla, and good evening, Shayla. You know, talking about death, I'm having this journey with, I just came back from my mom's 90th birthday. And we had a discussion today because I still have some papers of my great-grandmother who named me. And she was born in early 1900s. And her mother was born in 1851, and father. And so they were born into captivity in that state of Mississippi. And they were owned. And looking at my mother, 4 years old, and there living in the house with her mother, which is my grandmother, and my great-grandmother who named me, they all lived in the same house as she did that was born in 1851. And that part of me seeing my mother today alive at 90 years old, and knowing that, yeah, she's going to cross over, but she's going to join the rest of those that from the Odd Fellow Cemetery where all the bodies and headstones are. There's a lineage from that big oak tree all the way back down to my grandmother. And that family tree of being able to know that my pawpaw, who I knew him, was born in 1874 and died in 1954. I was 3 years old. And remembering him with his long white braids as a child sitting in the swing and him playing with me because I was the first boy in three generations, that part of that connection of being able to talk with those who talk to those who were in what we study about now, talk about chattel, and that's just four generations back. And then for my great-grandson to see my mother, who saw that woman who was in captivity, is the line of generations, as we talk about in indigenous, seven generations back and seven generations ahead, because there were five generations honoring her on her solar return. And so the importance of staying connected. Yes, those loved ones that we have into relationships, my brother and my father and others in the family that have crossed over, but the part for us to be able to connect back to that far back and call on those ones and remember the energy of you being physically present in their time of existence is very powerful energy.
Yeah, thank you, Kwame. Shayla, you have a comment on that? Are we talking about energy? That's a very important aspect of energy.
Yeah, I mean, we've been having discussions, actually. Interesting you're talking about this, because his body will be cremated, and his family lineage, there's the Romanian church has a place in Michigan. It's like it's a retreat center. It's where their Episcopate, their kind of deacons, or I don't even know what they're called, you know, they do have it. They do have a hierarchy and organization. And this is where he would go to summer camp, and they have every year they have a big festival there, you know, and it's a retreat center for the Romanian Orthodox Episcopate. And they have other, you know, plots there. His brother told me, oh, you know, there's other plots there for our family. And I'm like, Soteria doesn't really want to be buried there. And I don't care if he's buried there, you know. I mean, I'm never going to go there. So it's kind of, we're kind of breaking away from that a bit. So I don't know what I'll do with his ashes. You know, the girls and I talked about burying in a particular place that we all have fond memories of, you know. And so my comment about that is, yeah, that is powerful. I understand, like, when you're talking about as a youngster being with someone that goes back to those times of, you know, and then they're buried together. I mean, that's super powerful. Super powerful, yeah. And we do, you know, I mean, I see our job, my job, I'm going to say, in this generation, in this lifetime, is to break those generational miasms, I'm going to call them, because that's what they call them in homeopathy, that are not serving us anymore. So they might be traumas or ways of being or, you know, egoic ways of being in the world that it's not life-affirming. And we all have it, you know. I mean, we're here. Anybody that's on planet Earth has healing to do. We wouldn't be on this planet if we didn't, right? So here we are, and my joy of joy would be to heal some of those ancestral wounds, which certainly someone who comes from a background where there were people who were chattel and owned by other people, that's some stuff to break. Mm-hmm. I mean, that not break, but heal.
Yeah.
That's some real healing that's got, you know, that you could send into the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the goal for me is to create new ways of being through my daughters, you know, and through myself first. I can't give it to my daughters if I don't have it. And heal the, you know, those next, send that out for the next seven generations, that they can build upon that.
Absolutely. It's funny, we talk about traditions. My sister and her family are here from Atlanta or Georgia, and we had a banquet for my dad to raise money for an athletic scholarship at his high school alumni. So the plan today was to go to the cemetery, his cemetery where he and his wife are buried, and it's a military cemetery. And my sister is very much into going to cemeteries and putting flowers there. And I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning and like, I'm not in the cemetery this morning. I just don't want to go to a cemetery. I don't do cemeteries. I'm just like, they're not there. And I'm like, I feel like it's a waste of my time. But she, on the other hand, is very important. So the whole family went. They took pictures of the stone. And I'm like, okay, now what? What are you going to do now? Well, they're going to go eat now. And so that's a tradition, like almost like you're talking about, that I'd like to just wipe away. You know, just uh-huh. I wish he had been had ashes maybe instead of a casket and all that, but that's the tradition that some of us are still in. But I'm like so done with going to cemeteries. But some people are really into that. I told them I'm not doing cemeteries. I don't do cemeteries. So go have you do you and send me a picture. So anyway, that's just one of those things for me that I'm just not there anymore. And I told them it just creates sadness in me. And yet at one point I would walk around the cemetery and just look at the dates that people were born and died, and some of them were here for nine years. Oh, wow, that's interesting. So that was the fun I would have at the cemetery. It's just looking at the dash as they the in between and all that. But yeah, I'm done with that for the most part. But getting back to the self-esteem that you said you got a sense of was missing, or the lack of love, self-love, and what was that? How did you kind of process that with your husband, and how did that help you?
Well, seeing that, I think it gave me more compassion, and it made me understand that some of his behaviors, until that was healed, he really couldn't help himself. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like compassion. We're meeting, you know, compassion can only happen between equals. So, you know, meeting him at this way and thinking, well, there's got to be something in here in me, too, probably something I'm not even aware of. I don't even know. So I guess I just, it gave me more compassion. More compassion. Forgiveness and just like, I'd say that.
Yeah, and then the cancer, even looking at dis-ease, to me it's fascinating how dis-ease develops when that root of lack of self-love is not there, and how that can really feed the cancer and create the inflammation and cause growth to tumors to show up. Because we don't have that high frequency of love and forgiveness and joy, and which is,
and I think the other thing we have to be careful of too is everybody has such an individual journey, and I think people in the spiritual community have to really be careful because, you know, it can be seen as almost like a failure, you know, if we get cancer and we die from cancer, well, we must not have been vibrating high enough or we didn't get to the root cause. I mean, you have to be a little careful with that because it can create shame or, you know, these feelings that are not legitimate. I mean, for that situation, we have no idea unless you've been given some information that, you know, is really from on high. And if you do and you have that information, you're usually not going to share it. I mean, those are secret things we get from the Creator. You know, those are those secret messages. And so we don't know what they're – we just have no idea what their soul wrote to come in to do, honestly, you know. And so it's never a failure. It's never – like we were talking about before. However you die, that's how you plan to do it in some sense. I think there's sometimes windows. You know, there's windows for transformation. I think people have, you know, opportunities. It's all timing. You know, it's all timing. You can't push water up a hill.
That's so true.
You know, you can try, you know, you can work on yourself and work on yourself and work on yourself. And then sometimes you can feel these windows open up that, wow, okay, it's happening. But you couldn't have made it happen before it was supposed to happen.
Yes, yes. I think we got another caller. I don't think I opened up this mic yet. Let me see. 773-366, your mic is open. Check your mute button. Did you have a comment or a question for our guest? 773-366. Okay. Okay, so the thing about celebrating loved ones, that's what our topic is today. My sister taught me about emotions. That was for me her biggest lesson for me. And she was a teacher in the public school system for years. But she stayed in my house for 9 months with trying to overcome breast cancer. And when you contacted me and said, was there suggest anything for Satara, he was in hospice, I was like shocked. I was like, what can I do anything? Really? And I go back to my sister's lesson for me. We spent 9 months drinking alkaline water, tons of alkaline water. We spent raw food eating, juicing. I mean, all the external therapies you could think of, we did it because I was working at a health food store at the time and I had access to so many different things to try. And yet the death of her child was the major contributor to the imbalance in her body. So German New Medicine, I became a student of German New Medicine and now a practitioner of German New Medicine, which actually teaches about the power of conflict shocks in your life, like the death of a child, that start this growth, the lesion in the brain, and then the growth of tumors in the breast, depending on the type of conflict shock. And so at the end of her journey, that number three spoke to me about unforgiveness, guilt, and grief. Those were the three major emotions that were not healed in her, I would say, and that were running her biology. Because every disease is being fueled by energy from, in my opinion, from the emotions of some sort.
And
so it's really, I understand what you're saying about we have to be careful that we don't put shame or cause people to feel like they've made a mistake or they're unworthy or anything like that. But that was so clear to me to sit there and see the number three show up like that, and then to just process the three emotions that I observed in her for 9 months that were the triggers for the growth of that mass in her breast.
Right.
So,
what a great teacher.
Oh, my goodness. The best. And my first book was based on that lesson. My Body is Talking to Me is the name of my first book. And I mentioned in the book about the threes that showed up with her and how she could not forgive herself. Plus, her daughter was conceived with a married man. That lesson in itself for me was like, whoa, relationships. Then that brings in the idea that every disease is also influenced by relationships that are not healed and relationships that you're mentally or psychologically in conflict with. So it's so complex. We can't put any shame on anyone for it. When they die, when their body leaves, it's like, woohoo! So that's what I believe it's time to celebrate, because this is just too complex what people go through trying to heal and trying to overcome. And then when it doesn't happen, we realize, well, the numbers rule. It was 12-12 or it was three breaths. Okay, all that work, we should have just chilled a little bit and surrendered to spirit and said, don't have to work too hard now. We can just chill a little because the numbers will show up and actually confirm. You know what our intuition probably knows anyway.
Right. So we're talking about celebrating. So yesterday, the girls, we decided to go to his favorite restaurant here in town.
Oh, wonderful.
And what did he like to do? He like to sit at the bar, have a drink. So we had some drinks. We had a dinner. And we had a good time. And then next Sunday in a week, we're going to do a little community celebration. Just have a little party, and we'll probably do a couple readings or have some, have music readings, and people can come up and tell their stories about him, celebrate his life. So that's how we're going to celebrate him.
Well, I hope the Green Cafe is on your, is it the Green Cafe? That's where I think I met you two.
Living Green.
Living Green.
I don't know how you got Sarah's number, because you came to the house.
Yeah.
And saw him here.
He gave it to me, I think, at the Living Green Cafe. It seems like It seems like that's where I first met him.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yes, Liz and Michelle, I don't know if she heard. We're Facebook friends, so she hasn't responded. But, I hope she's there.
She's moved. But we've got another question for you. I think Mama AZ just texted me and said she... Okay, Mama AZ, your mic's open.
Yes, sister, when you say you started involving yourself with channelers, are you familiar with J.C. Knight, Rompa?
I haven't read anything for probably 25 years about that, but I am familiar with Rompa.
Okay, because it just feels so like it was Rompa or Abraham Hicks. I know you're familiar with Abraham Hicks as well, correct?
Yeah, I started out reading Seth years ago. Have you heard of that? Jane Roberts.
Yes.
Were the most amazing teachings. Oh, my God. It doesn't resonate with me. But in Ramsa, I read a lot of the teachings. I liked, it was a place for me to really delve into this. Oh, my God, there's other energies. They're speaking. You know, they're talking about universal truths. And I liked all that. Don't go to channels anymore. I'm working on just being the channel for my own life. I had to kind of pull away because I was giving it way too much power, you know.
Yes.
I was giving it too much power for my life, and they had the answers for me. They don't have any answers for me.
Well, you're breaking up. I don't know if it's me, but that's where I am now at this particular time in my 70 years of being on this planet, and I so appreciate you for being here today. Thank us. Thank you, Dr. Z. I appreciate it. You've really, I don't know what to say, but I just love the freaking bejesus out of you, Dr. Z, because you're always right on the money as far as I'm concerned. Thank us.
Well, thank us again, because if Shayla hadn't contacted me and let me know what was going on with Satira, then we wouldn't be having this conversation, because you stayed in my mind to hear that he was sick. I thought, wow, you know, I went back to your house and I could see myself on the table being treated, and what a beautiful energy there was there. And I'm like, he's sick? I couldn't believe. So you stayed in my mind after sending me that text. So that's why it's a thank us. Thank you, sister. And it really is being attuned to the cosmic energy and the spirit's voice and nature. We talk about nature when we come back. We got to take one more commercial break. And I really want to talk, because if I remember right, you're living in a really beautiful place with lots of beautiful trees. And
yeah,
I would think that would have been a great environment for healing to take place, but we'll talk about that when we come back.
Unmuted.
Naima Latif, your mic is open for the last commercial.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call, because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312 312-472-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me, 312-802-4743.
For joining us this evening. We're here with a very dear friend, sister, soul sister, Shayla. And thank you for sharing about this partner, wonderful man you had in your life, Satira. You know, I decided to do this topic and show because this week while I was in Chicago, I was informed of a friend's husband who suddenly passed away. And so I kind of dedicated this to her, hoping she can listen in, but I haven't seen her number. But she's in the hospital recovering from kidney weakness because she's on dialysis most of the time. And she's 75 years old, I think. And as I think I shared with you, her husband's numbers were 8. I shared with her last night that the number 8 was beginning and end for him. So that's one reason to celebrate when those numbers speak to you like that. And so yeah. I know I'm going to be there at the celebration next Sunday. And I want to ask you, how would you, if you were writing a book about Satira, what would that book feel like, sound like, read like? And giving us an energy of celebration throughout it.
You know, I think it's about as complicated as our situation got through the years, and as much, I would call it kind of unresolved, there was always this deep connection. And at the end, all of that doesn't make any difference. Honestly, I love him so much. And I feel so connected to him. I'll always feel connected to him. I have 4 beautiful daughters because of him that are amazing and fulfill my life. You know, help me fulfill my life. I don't want to put that on them. But it's just that in the end, only love matters. In the end, only love matters. You know, that's it. That's what I would say.
And so he came to show you and or give you that lesson, would you say? Because I stopped asking why this, why that, why that. I'm at a place at 67. I'm at this state of mind life that everything is pretty much karmic cycling energy working itself out.
Okay.
That's how I feel. Everyone doesn't agree with that, I found out. So whatever. So I kind of feel like we all get what we deserve, good or bad, because of unknown karmic energy and cycles of responsibility and choices that we have made in past lives or this life. This is my perspective. So that something happens, a rape, for instance, that's a sensitive topic, but I'm like, what happened? What did you, what choices did that person make that they attracted that energy? I had a man I was driving a car one time with, and older man, he was in his 70s, and he started telling me about a mark he had on his head that his mother or his caretaker, I think he was a foster caretaker, put on his head at one time. This woman hit me so hard, he said, that it left a mark on my head. And I looked over, I was driving, I looked at him and said, what did you do to deserve that? And I'm like, oh, that was probably the worst thing to say. This man went into such a rage. He went into such a rage that I thought he was going to kill me. I thought I needed to pull over. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And to this day, we are the best of friends now because the healing that needed to take place in him was rooted in that trauma of being hit. And he was still being triggered. I trigger people all the time with stuff like that, just saying, oh, what did you do to deserve that? Ah! So So it's like now I'm like more careful with, okay, this might trigger. I better speak carefully. But what happened with him was basically he had a heart attack. And in fact, I think the heart attack came from the jab. He had the jab because his daughter wouldn't let him see his grandchildren unless he got the injection. And shortly after, he had a heart attack. And then he 180 degree turn in his personality. The triggering doesn't happen. The trigger doesn't happen anymore. The anger is pretty much subsided. And so, wow. And it's like you said, we don't have to do a whole lot. Just love. Just love. And be yourself, because I was only being myself saying, what in the world happened? What did you do to deserve that? And I was saved by the grace of the spirits around me. But it all worked out for good, that he had to learn a lesson all without me. I moved away from that energy for a while. And then next thing I know, he's in the hospital because of all that rage that kept coming forth. And he had to heal by having suffering and a heart attack. So.
Well, that is the ultimate in life, is clearing, 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 so you can be the pure vessel that God can speak through, or the universe or nature, life, and being unattached to the outcome. So you know you're supposed to say that. It just came out, but you are unattached to the outcome. Whether it helped him or didn't, or your interpretation of whether it helped them or didn't, you have to get rid of all that. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is about. You know, it's a lot of it's about that. You know, be unattached to outcome. You cannot, you don't know how the Lord works. You don't know how God works. It's unfathomable with the human brain. You know, it's not fathomable. Unfathomable. So you did your job.
And so I love that you bring up unattached, because I think that a lot of people cannot celebrate loved ones leaving their vessel. In my opinion, I want your thought on this, because they're so attached to the physical and maybe the emotional. Now, what do you think about that? Why people aren't able to celebrate when their loved ones leave their vessel?
Well, there's a lot of going on. You know, it could be for just physical. Are they financially set? Do they have support? You know, that's a frightening thing to face if you don't have that.
So fear.
Fear. It's the fear of being without that. You don't know what's on the other side. And, you know, I think there's also cultural norms, you know, like I'm supposed to feel a certain way, or it doesn't mean I love them. You know, I'm supposed to mourn, or it means I didn't love them, or I'm supposed to mourn in this way. My daughter even asked me, she says, what are you wearing next Sunday? Are you going to wear black? I said, hell no.
Good for you.
Celebration, you know. I mean, so these are, you know, cultural sillinesses.
Yes.
So
yes.
You gotta really go deep into what. There's always an upside to death, even. You know, oh, I get to do whatever I want now. I don't have to do what my husband wants to do.
Oh yeah.
I can eat whatever I want.
So true.
You know, and hopefully that's not your sole source of love in life. That's why community is so important. I mean, if I didn't have my daughters, you know, and my family and friends who've helped me tremendously.
Oh.
I mean, I've really, really seen the outpouring of love for him and for me that I just didn't even realize was there.
Mm-hmm.
It's been such a beautiful time for me to open my heart to other people's energies and other people's love for me,
mm-hmm.
and for him, that I don't know, I'm feeling it in a different way now, and it makes me look at how I'm showing up in other people's lives. Am I really contributing? Am I being open to helping them? You know, how sincere am I in that? I've learned a lot.
Oh, my goodness. That is so powerful because it really is about the lessons, isn't it? About when a loved one leaves, okay, what do I need to learn and take in because of his contribution to this earth atmosphere? What am I learning here? And that's, you just expressed it beautifully. All the people who he touched and who are now touching you. Wow, look, think about that cycle. And that's such good karma to think about, that when someone's soul says goodbye to this vessel, all the people who that person touched now have an opportunity to give more love to you and your family and to really practice what he was doing in the way of healing energy and so much more. And that's the beauty.
I think that's why the memorial is so important. I said, bring your joyous heart and stories, you know, because then those people can also express how they felt about him and their interaction with him. And that's so cathartic and it's so expanding. You know, when you tell someone, you tell a story about somebody that touched you in a certain way, it amplifies that feeling, you know, and it lets it out into the world instead of just inside your head, you know. And other people get to hear that. And people that loved him, his daughters get to hear that. They see a different side of him that they don't see, you know, because they're his daughter. You know, so it expands your knowledge of a person. You know, you learn things about them. I'm sure you learn things about your dad all through writing that book and all those things. You're like, wow, you're kidding.
Yeah, for sure.
Dad, you know, I mean, you don't know about all the other ways that they show themselves to the world.
Exactly. And writing my dad's book, I realized how humble he was because when the book was all published and finished and I was promoting it and bringing it over, copying, and I would say, well, Dad, how you feel about this? And he said, everybody has a story. No big deal. I'm like, what? And after the other night, Friday night, listening to the people he touched in his life, one of his students who played football for him back in the 50s was one of the speakers, and this man was in tears. He wasn't, you know, booing, but I water came to his eyes just thinking about this, my father, and how he impacted and influenced him. And my dad's like, well, everybody has a story. But here we are 3 years after his passing, and people are still touched by his life. So
And that's all we have. What do we have in this world? It's only touching other lives. That's all we. That's our currency, you know? I mean, that's what we're here for. And it makes me think, why not tell people when they're living? Why not be more generous with people and tell them how you're affecting them? You know, I mean, that's a generosity of spirit that sometimes we don't, we just keep it to ourselves. Or, I mean, it's not necessarily malevolent, you know, or anything but like that, but we don't, as a culture, really do that as much as I think we could. And I'm talking about sincere, you know, just to them personally, like to tell someone how much they've affected your life before they pass, you know.
Yes, absolutely. So, Shayla, would you like to lead us in meditation of either forgiveness or what's on your heart now that you've been through this very important challenge and education the last few days? Would you like to lead us in any particular meditation?
Sure. Holy Spirit, come upon all of us that are listening and open our hearts to what is really, truly important in life. Let us open our hearts to forgive each other and forgive ourselves and understand that where the real importance in life is. Forget the petty things that are going on that are dragging us down and just revel in the love that can expand our hearts and bring in the whole world. And remember that love is truly all there is, and let us be clear enough to, you know, expand our hearts to believe that and live that way. And let us lift each other up and just celebrate each other every day. So it is.
And so it is. I love that. I'm saying that instead of amen, and so it is. And I forget where I was the other day, and someone, let's see, someone said, and so it is. And I looked, oh, it's spreading. It's like coming out of this traditional religious mind. It's so refreshing and so exciting. And I don't know if Kwame's hand is still up. I don't know if he had another comment. I'm going to open his mic. We only have a few minutes left. But Kwame, did you have another comment? I saw your hand was still up.
No, you know, I've enjoyed the show and honoring those who have returned to their source, which we all will do. And the thing about it is that we walk upon the earth, which are parts of beings that have been here and walked in suits, but now we walk on them. And that's a part of the cycle of life, from ashes to ashes, from dust to dust. And that part of being able to walk on, like cemeteries, all of those people that lay in there owning that piece of earth, and that part of them being able to know as they've returned to the source that they come from, the vessel that housed that spirit, is the spirit has returned because we're breathing in the same air that our loved ones did, and we continue to breathe air that's been here for thousands of years. And we also drinking water and remembering consciousness through the water that we all come from. So what we're doing is talking about a recycling of energy. And I thank you all for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. Oh, that's beautiful. I keep thinking about a Facebook friend of mine whose son left his body, unfortunately, in a very traumatic, shocking way with an overdose of opiates. And it's been over 3 years, and there's still a lot of grief. In fact, when I have tried to comfort in my way of that celebrating, helping her celebrate, met with a lot of some strong resistance. Have you experienced that in your lifetime or recently at all, where the death was sudden and the mother or the relatives are having a hard time celebrating, basically?
Well, my sister, one of my younger sisters, her son died at 12 years old during the night. She wanted to wake him up for school, and he was dead. Mm-hmm. And one of my other nephews was born later that day. It was kind of a crazy time.
Wow.
But she had a very hard couple of years. You know, she wasn't interested in going to any therapy, going to any grieving groups, into any of that.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's nothing you can do. You know, you can just be there. They know you're there, and they have their own timeline. You know, they've got their own way of processing. There's nothing you can do to change that. You know, so, and she's come out of it pretty good. She's, that was now 10 years ago. 10 years ago, because it was 2012.
Yeah, that's hard.
That was pretty traumatic.
So your environment, did you see that your nature environment around your house helped in any way for Satira to find peace at all? I always tell people I do yoga in nature because it just seems to me to raise the vibration of everything.
Yeah.
Did it help Satira at all to be in, was he able to go outside at all and find peace?
Not these last couple weeks. He couldn't even literally go outside. Okay. He was so weak. Mm. But he always loved me. I mean, he loved living here. He just, you know, he loved to have fires. He likes to work with land and build things. I mean, he's quite brilliant. He can fix anything. He can just, he's got kind of a creative mind that way. So, but I wouldn't say that it really helped in his healing, except it was certainly lovely to have the windows open and just look out at the beautiful landscape.
Right.
He was having, you know, as most people do, that have an extended illness, is, you know, you go very inward. He was very inward near the last couple of weeks. You know, he was all traveling and kind of in and out of consciousness. And he was, you know, he withdraws from people, not much to eat, just sips of water to drink. So it's a very inward journey.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember my sister at that, a week before she passed me, she just stopped talking, no more talking.
Yeah.
And the eyes were, her eyes were moving around a lot, and it was fascinating to watch that process of her letting go.
Have you ever, do you know Sadhguru?
Oh, yeah.
I got his book on death.
Okay.
And it's interesting. He talks about the whole process, the physical process of death and the soul process of death, you know, the weeks leading up to death and then after. And, I mean, you know, they know a lot in their culture about death, you know, as most ancient cultures they do.
It pays to study. Pays to study other cultures. So are you doing, what kind of work are you doing? You want to give any information out how people can get a hold of you, or are you?
They can get a hold of me through you right now. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just right now processing. I've always been involved, or not at least in my mind, with birthing, and I have a doula certification. So I've got a lot of training in that area, but I'm like, okay, what do I do now? I mean, I've got to figure out a new life for myself.
That's exactly where I am. I did the doula training. I didn't get certified, but I did the doula training. And I had so many opportunities to just share with women about connecting to that new life inside of them and using music and talking to the baby. And the most important thing I told them is it's a partnership. For 9 months, it's a partnership for you to prepare you and the baby to come out. It's not like you're... I always looked at birth as something, all my responsibility. I had to push that baby out, and I had to have the energy to do it and all that. Now, after doing a few doula classes and studying and talking to women, I realized it's a partnership. That baby wants to come out of there just as much as you want it out, but I never thought that way. So the few women that I've been able to counsel about as a doula, that was my main focus. And the communication was, it's a partnership. You need to talk to that baby about how you're going to get him out of there or her out of there, and let's work together. And the whole labor and is all about communication.
And, you know, the whole idea of a delivery, you know, delivered from the
right. Yeah, we should get together on that. Well, I'll see you on Sunday, and just create. We have to create, in my mind, new birth centers, because this whole abortion thing is confusing women. And the idea in my mind is we just need birth centers to educate women about how to have a beautiful birth, how to prepare, and all of that. We need one in every community, and that's kind of my focus. So thank you so much, Shayla. Love you, and we will see you.
I enjoyed it.
We'll celebrate on Sunday. I'll bring my good stories.
Yes. All right.
Have a good one.
Okay.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Love you. And we're going to play our closing global ending for you now. Everybody come back tomorrow. Good morning, Zelda.
We've come to the end of our show today.
Monday morning,
every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Forward slash the female solution. The call number for the show is 515-205-9322. So join us tomorrow morning at 7 Central and 8 Eastern. I will be flying out of Chicago tomorrow afternoon. Florida.
Watch our TV show.
All right.
Listen to our radio show. Order our books. And be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xie Xie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Jeong Kujung. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Giabonga. Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God. And God's blessings.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.